The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Rob DeLuca from UFO. You're listening to Talking Metal.
Molson Canadian presents Heavy Montreal. August 7th, 8th, and 9th, outdoors at Parc Jean-Drapeau. Featuring Slipknot, Faith No More, Korn, and Alexis on Fire. 3 full days of rock and metal with Lamb of God, Iggy Pop, NoFX, Billy Talent, and many more. Festival passes on sale now. For the full festival lineup, visit HeavyMontreal.com. Produced by Avenco.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. Before we get into the episode, please consider making a PayPal donation to support what I do here with the Talking Metal Podcast. You can do that by going to talkingmetal.com and using the PayPal tab. Another thing you can do to support us is use our Amazon links. In the show notes for today's episode and right on talkingmetal.com, we have links that take you over to Amazon. Use that link before making your purchase. Basically, all that happens is it just links you over to Amazon, and for some odd reason, they give us a little kickback. I'm not sure why they do it, but they do it, and you guys have been great with that, and I really appreciate the support with your Amazon purchases. All right, now let's get into the episode with some very special guests, Anthony Esposito and Rob DeLuca. All right, guys, let's get into some classic stuff right now. First, we'll hit a classic by Rob DeLuca. This is Switchblade Serenade by Spread Eagle, Rob DeLuca's band. And we'll follow that up with an Anthony Esposito classic from Lynch Mob.
Thank you. spirits never die. I can hear them calling me. I can hear them calling me.
That was Switchblade Serenade by Spread Eagle, followed by River of Love by Lynch Mob. And without further ado, let's get right into our interview with the bassist on that last track, River of Love. This is Anthony Esposito, formerly of Lynch Mob, Ace Frehley's band, and many, many others. Let's get right into talking with him right now. And then after that, we'll hear from Rob DeLuca. Hey, this is Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and on the line we have Anthony Esposito. Hey, Anthony, thanks for checking in with us today.
Oh, thanks, Mark. Thanks for calling. How are you doing?
Good, man. I was thrilled when I hopped on Facebook yesterday and saw your announcement that you are the new bassist in a band that I really like, Red Dragon Cartel, and just wanted to call and congratulate you and find out how all this came about.
I'm really excited to be a part of Jake's Red Dragon Cartel. I have a lot of ties with Jake. The guy who produced the Red Dragon Cartel, co-produced it with Jake, was an old friend of mine in New York, Ron Mancuso.
Right, sure.
So I had been being notified along all the process of the entire way while they were doing the record and all that. Ron and I talk every once in a while. My son, Tyler, who's also a recording engineer in his own right, he worked on the CD with Jake. He was working on the guitar solos and stuff with Jake, recording them, and him and Jake became really close friends.
Wow.
And so my son goes, I just got a text from Jake. Jake's interested. He wants to know if you want to play in Red Dragon Cartel. Here are the dates. So my son actually was the middleman on the deal. But I mean, I know Jake. I mean, Lynch Mob was very close to Badlands in style.
Sure.
And that era. And I was close and friends with Ray in the beginning, knowing Ray from New York, and I loved Ray dearly. He was a good special friend to me when I first started out with Lynch Mob, and I'd always run into him at the Limelight or Cat Club or back in New York days, and he always had the biggest glowing smile and the biggest hello and a big hug. And then when he started playing with Jake, I didn't really know Jake that well until we did George, Nick, and I did a Grand Prix race for MTV when they used to have the Rock and Jock stuff.
Yeah, right.
And
we did
a couple of these Grand Prix races where we actually raced in right before the IndyCar race.
Wow.
Because to throw a bunch of musicians in cars and let them go free on the track. But I got to know Greg and Jake because I guess they didn't want to put Ray behind the wheel of anything.
Yeah.
So it was just Jake and Ray, and I got to know them during the whole he would do charities and go to children's hospitals and do benefit jam sessions at like theaters and stuff when we were doing these races to raise money for charity and stuff. And so I got to hang out with the both of them for a few days, and I got to know Jake, and as soon as I got to know him, we sort of hit it off really well and became really good friends. And so when he called, it was I didn't even hesitate when Tyler said, my son told me, he's like, Jake's interested, would you be interested in playing I was like, yep. And wow. I didn't even ask anything. It was just automatic. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. I mean, that
goes without
saying. And I always admired the way that the things that he did were presented and constructed. Like, I always admired his credibility. And that's a very attractive asset to me. I don't really pick many gigs, but the ones I do, I really have to get into to do. And it was a no-brainer. It was an immediate decision. I didn't care about anything else. I was like, yep. And he just texted me dates. He actually texted me the next day after Tyler told me and sent me dates and the songs I needed to learn. And that was it. Off to go.
So will you be flying out to Vegas to do rehearsals with them, or how's that going to work?
No, I think we're rehearsing in Florida a couple of days before the first gig.
Okay, cool. And obviously, the Red Dragon Cartel, they've gone through a lot of changes, you know, within probably the last 6 to 8 months. You're probably the third bass player, I think, in the last 8 months, and they just lost their singer, Darren, too. So this almost kind of seems like a new beginning for the band. Is that something that concerns you, that there's been so many people in and out of the band within the last, 8 months?
No, not really. I look at it as, I actually saw them play live in Philly, up at my house, and Greg was playing bass. He was great. I mean,
right.
I love Greg from the Badlands days. He's a great bass player.
Absolutely.
So I never saw Ron play bass with them. I enjoyed that show a lot. I'm not really so concerned about the changing member thing and all that, because it kind of happened before I joined.
Yeah.
I had no input or say or any of that. You know, I'm joining and playing with one of the greatest rock guitar players there is. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's how I look at it. You know, it's not a matter of anything else. I'm excited just to play with Jake. I'm excited to play live again. I haven't played live since I played with Ace, and that was, three years ago.
Right.
And the next time I get to go on stage, I get to go on my left, and there's Jake ripping it. So it's pretty good company there.
Yeah, well, again, congratulations. I mean, it just seems like such a logical fit, you and Jake. I mean, like you said, Lynch Mob and Badlands kind of were of that same era and kind of were something special to a lot of us back in those days. So it totally makes sense.
Yeah, we weren't really hair metal bands. We were more just blues-based rock bands that, were kind of the same ilk. They went about it a different way, and we went about it a different way, but there are lots of similarities to the two bands.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. And can we expect maybe some other songs, do you think, to be thrown into the set list now that you're coming on board? Maybe some Badlands songs that we haven't heard, or maybe some other...
I don't know what the set list was before. So I don't know what the changes or the alterations would be.
Okay.
I love Badlands. The problem with Badlands, I would think, would be Ray was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of, I think that would probably be in whoever chooses to sing, whether song by song, what's in their comfort zone, because Ray was a special guy. He was a great singer.
So your history with Ray, being from the New York area, you guys, before either one of you had kind of broken big with bands, you definitely knew of each other and were friendly, you were saying.
Yeah. But Badlands' first record came out before Lynch Mob. That record came out before I was even in Lynch Mob. And then we did Wicked, and then Voodoo Highway came out, I think, after Wicked.
Okay.
But the first time, I mean, I met the band Badlands. Ray called me. I was living in Phoenix playing with George, and Ray was playing, Badlands was playing a club in Phoenix, and Ray was like, hey, man, come on down, come to soundcheck. So I went to soundcheck to hang out, And after that, Ray went to go get tattoo. So I went to the tattoo parlor with Ray, and I met JJ, who later became the bass player in Fight, the tattoo artist. And I met JJ, who's now a really dear friend of mine, through Ray. And so my introduction to the Badlands guys was Stephanie Ray. Yeah.
Cool. And you mentioned before that you hadn't been doing any playing live since parting ways with Ace. What have you been up to these past 2 to 3 years?
Well, the Ace thing kind of left a pretty bad taste in my mouth.
Right.
The way it ended, the way it dissolved, I was kind of like shocked. And so I really didn't want to play for a while. I focused on my studio. I moved from New York out to a horse ranch in Pennsylvania, right above Gettysburg. And I had a studio in New York City for 15 years that we did some great stuff in. And when I moved out, I opened the studio on the ranch, and bands come and stay on the ranch and record with me. So I was basically focusing on producing, working in the studio, and everything from bands that have had multi-platinum albums prior to bands that are beginning new young bands. Like, I'm seeing a really good band right now called End of Silence. They're really good, really special. And
End of Silence?
That sort of End of Silence, yeah, they're really neat. And I'm mixing them right now. I did the band Tantric, worked with them.
Yeah.
There was a great Punkadelic band that I did called the Martini Brothers. I did a record with them. And I've just focused on that and bringing my stamp or my help or whatever I can do to new bands as well, young bands, to help them go to the next level, the next step, you know. So that's what I've been doing. I'm not really playing
right
at all.
Cool. Well, I mean,
I gotta practice. I got a mountain of songs to learn from Greg and Bob Daisley, and you know, not your easy day signs.
Is it too early to say like what your future will be with Red Dragon Cartel? You're obviously doing this tour and these live dates, but do you expect that after that you will continue with them, possibly doing new music or more dates, or is it kind of like you're just coming in for these dates that are coming up, and then we don't really know what's going on after that?
Well, I don't look at it as a band, if that's what you're asking me.
I guess that's what I'm asking.
It's Jake. It's whatever he decides and whatever capacity he wants my involvement in or with, I'm there for him. I like him as a person, and I like him as a guitar player. So whatever capacity he wants my involvement, I'll be there for him. I don't look at it as a band. I kind of look at it the same way with Ace. It's a solo thing where, when they're done with you, they can just, you know, be rid of you. You know, it's not like as it should be, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to Mark Tremonti during the week, and he mentioned the same thing about Jake, and just, you know, that we were talking about the fact that Darren had left, and he said, you know, the thing I would buy a ticket to see is Jake, and he's no matter who's in the band, he's the one that I'm buying the ticket to see. So I thought that was
like, I don't look at it like, I'm sure there'll be a few people hopefully that will come to see me and say hi.
Yeah, right.
I don't think, you know what I mean, but I don't think it's earth shattering. The name on the marquee is Ace Frehley or Jakey Lee, or and rightfully so. You know, I'm there to as a support role for them, and to do my job as best as I can so that they can excel and deliver a great performance and not ever have to worry about the other side of the stage. You know,
right, right, and I would just say that as a fan of what you did back with Lynch Mob in the day, and you know, throughout the years with other bands, you know, from Pisser to Ace Frehley, for me it's exciting that you're in the band as a fan, and it would definitely be something. You know, I'm already excited always to see and hear what Jake is up to, but I think that for some of the hardcore fans, having you in the band is definitely a bonus and a plus.
Well, thank you very much. And I mean, the response on Facebook has been phenomenal and great, and all these people chiming in and so saying such nice things about Greg and me. You know, Greg's a great bass player, and I'm honored to follow him in this. And I'm sorry that his situation didn't work out with Jake, because I think the two of them play really well together.
It's with Greg, the one thing I did remember hearing an interview when Greg and Jake were on the Eddie Trunk show, and Greg really talked about his life, and he sounded like he's kind of like this family guy, and he, you know, he's got a lot going on with kids and just family life, and he's kind of been out of this whole rock and roll touring loop for a while. So I think we can pretty much believe his press release that came out the other day that he's kind of leaving to go back to that life, you know, and he's had a real fun ride with it. Is that the vibe you got?
Well, I'm not going to speak for Greg. I don't know what the situation or what made his decision to come about or whatever. All I know is he's a great guy as well, and he's a great player. And Jake and him have history that definitely has credibility to it. And I respect him as a musician. And it's his life, it's his decision. And you know, you have to live your own life and make your own choices in life. And I'm excited because Jake and my son became really good friends when they were working on the Red Dragon record, and Tyler, my son's actually going to come out on tour with us.
Oh, nice.
And be the guitar tech for Jake and myself. So that's kind of an awesome thing for me to be on a bus with my son. I get to share his first barbecue with him. You know, I remember cool. My first barbecue was the Wicked Sensation Tour.
Right.
And the first time you go out on the road and the traveling, the tour bus and the fans and just moving air every night playing, you know, loud and in front of people and experiencing that from even a tech standpoint, you know, on the side of the stage, it's a great thing. And I get to get out with my son, which is really special. And I thank Kate for making that happen, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. And now, so is your son living out in Las Vegas, I assume?
No, he was in Las Vegas. And then he actually moved out to Pennsylvania. He's an engineer as well, and he works at my studio as well as he moved into the house. And he's been out here since September, which is great. I get to see him a lot. And my daughter's going to school in Manhattan, and I see her.
Oh, wow.
Whenever I go into town, back into New York, see my mom and my daughter and work. I work in there frequently as well.
Cool. And I know you, last time I spoke with you, which was, I guess, a while ago, last time I spoke with you on the podcast, that is, you were doing work with Rob Bailey and Frank Ferrer. What happened with that? Just, I guess, I'm assuming, being that you were out in Pennsylvania, it was probably a little hard to get together with them on a regular basis.
No, that definitely wasn't the case. It had nothing to do with geography. It was just difference of opinions and directions on where the band should go and how we should approach our careers. And
okay.
It's done. Pisser was weird because Frank was in Guns N' Roses, and we had Fortis for a while, and he was in Guns, and then we had Bumblefoot, and he was in Guns, and then we got Bailey, and it's one of those things where I was in Ace, and we only played like two shows a year. So I think I was in the band on and off for like 10 years or so, and I think we probably only played like 15 or 20 shows in the course of 10 years. And I loved playing in that band. It was a lot of fun, and I really loved playing live, and Frank's phenomenal. He's one of my favorite drummers to play with. But it just came to a point where I wanted to do something and they wanted to do something else, and we didn't agree. And I was just like, okay, good luck, you know, knock yourself out.
And when you say you wanted to do something, they wanted to do something else, you're specifically talking about like musical direction?
No, the musical direction for Pisser was awesome. You can't really mess with, you know, like that early Stooges, AC/DC, Aerosmith blend. And Post is a phenomenal frontman for that kind of stuff. And it was just a difference of opinions on a few issues.
Right.
And I'm out. And they were like, you're welcome back whenever you want to. And I'm like, no, I've seen this movie before, and I'm not going to relive this movie. And so that was it. No, I'm not going to ever go back to that band ever again. That's done. I invested enough time. We started a record. We started doing the CD, and while we were recording, just issues kind of popped up and stuff here and there, and they weren't handled the way that I would have liked them to be handled. So I was just okay. I'm gone.
And when did all this go down? Was this fairly recently, or like a year ago?
We started recording the record a year ago, you know, and it happened over like the last summer. It just sort of went away.
You know, there's been all these rumors about Guns N' Roses, and if Guns N' Roses even exists anymore. And you know, you mentioned all these guys that were in and out of Pisser who were in that band. What's your opinion on where Guns N' Roses stands now? Do you believe
Guns N' Roses is the same? It's a name. I think it's Axl Rose as a solo artist, and whatever Axl wants to do with it, it's his choice. It's his decision. I don't think that necessarily that's really a band.
Right.
I mean, I don't think a good portion of the musicians that are in it played on Chinese Democracy even.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Axl has definitely earned the right to make whatever decision he chooses to do. It's his career, and if he wants to play, he plays. If he doesn't want to play, he doesn't. If he wants to record, he does. You know, it's I look at that as a solo thing with a lot of people on stage.
Yeah, I mean, there's been all these rumors recently that maybe that version of the band doesn't even exist anymore, and there's also been rumors that Slash and Axl are at least finally on talking terms again, so I don't know. We'll have to, I guess.
Yeah, that's the reunion the whole world wants to see, and I would think that it would have to be Slash, Izzy, Duff, and Axl, and I don't know who they would get to play drums.
Right.
But I think those four guys would definitely have to be involved in it. And I think that that's the reunion that everyone wants to see. And that's like, you're talking a stadium tour. You're not even talking arenas.
Yeah.
Like, that would be like a Stones reunion kind of thing, or a Kiss reunion kind of. That would be mega huge for rock. It would probably be what rock really needs right now is a good, I would love to hear a new record with those guys.
Yeah, well, you and I both definitely. Well, I guess we'll just have
sure the world would.
We'll have to wait.
But, I mean, you know, I think it's a solo act, though. I don't really think many of people that go to see that band would choose not to go see them if any member but Axl wasn't in it anymore.
Right. Well, as far as the A stuff goes, I know you've said a lot of stuff in the press about the way things ended there, and you know, unfortunately,
I love Ace. Actually, it's really funny that you said that, because like I literally texted him two nights ago. I was driving in the car, and Detroit Rock City came on, and I saw that as a sign. Hey, I'm going to text Ace, and I was I just texted him. It's like, Poppy, how you doing, man? I miss you, bro. I hope you're well. And he texted me within seconds, I got the response.
Cool.
And he's like, you know, I heard you guys got another snowstorm out there. I was like, we had just gotten hit with that snowstorm.
Right.
It snowed again this morning. But, yeah, it was an immediate thing. And it was just hey, how you doing? Oh, I miss you. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, we were friends. I mean, we were bros. We were friends for a while. And, I mean, you know, I miss him. I miss him as a friend. You know, I like being around him. So, but, you know, that was once again his decision. And I'm sure that all the Ace fans are not gonna not go to his show because I'm not playing bass. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
It's Ace Frehley. You know, I'm just the bass guy that was there for a little bit. I mean, I just think I'm incredibly fortunate to have played. Like, I don't know how. I'm like, my son and I were talking about this the other day. I'm like, how did I get like to play with George and Ace and Jay? All these great guitar players. I'm like, I scratch my head. I'm just thankful to God. I mean, I've been blessed and lucky and get good gigs. I'm in the middle of Pennsylvania. It's, you know, my phone.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm walking Sunset to get gigs, you know? And, I'm thankful for everything that I've gotten to do and be involved in, you know, the Anomaly record I'm proud of. I'm really proud of Wicked Sensation. I think that was, had that record come out 2 or 3 years earlier, not the same year as Nevermind, I think, you know, that record got a lot more people would have.
Oh, it's gotten, such a great record. Such a great record. Yeah.
But, and I'm excited, and hopefully Jake will ask me to play or be involved in the next Red Dragon Cartel record or whatever he chooses to call it, or if he even does another. I don't know.
Right.
But if I'm involved in it, I would love to be involved in it and to be on a record with Jake forever. That will always exist. That would be just make me really happy. You know.
Absolutely, Anthony, and thanks so much for coming on Talking Metal and sharing the news about your joining up with Jake for the Red Dragon Cartel tour that's going to be starting when soon, right?
Yeah, I have to learn new songs. I think I have to go to Florida on April 14th. I have like 15 songs to learn, so I better get busy on this. I actually just painted the floor in my studio.
Right.
I need to get busy on it. But thank you so much for having me on your show, and I appreciate it. I wanted to say hi to all my friends and my fans that hopefully I'll get to see them soon with Jake on the road and say hi. Definitely come up and say hi.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Anthony.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great one.
Yeah.
What you just heard was my interview with Anthony Esposito. That was coming out of the interview, shouted out by Red Dragon Cartel, Anthony's band that he is currently in. He just joined them. So let's keep the rock and roll going here. We will hit a little new UFO with Run Boy Run is the name of the track. Buy it on iTunes. And then we'll hear from Rob DeLuca. Hey, this is Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and joining us, I believe, for the first time is Rob DeLuca, who we have known through the years through Spread Eagle, Sebastian Bach, UFO, and a lot of other things. And Rob, thanks for joining us on Talking Metal.
My pleasure, Mark. Good to be here. I think this is the first time.
Yeah, well, it's about time, and I'm glad we're finally connecting. I don't want to... get too bummed out here right at the beginning of the interview, but I thought, maybe we should talk about AJ Perro, being that you're a New York guy and he was a New York guy. Did you have any dealings with him through the years?
No, I've never met him, and I think I only did two shows with Twisted, playing in Sebastian Bach's band. So I don't really know him, but he was a powerful drummer, and he was obviously very loved by a lot of people. And it's sad, 55. I mean, even 65 is ridiculously young to die, but 55 is just crazy. And it's very sad. And, you know, my condolences go out to his family and his band. And, you know, it's a shame.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I thought maybe you maybe played more gigs than that with him, being that you were such a big part of the scene back in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. But it's you know, I guess New York's a big place, and you don't always cross paths with everybody in the scene.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's talk about the song that you sent me the video for, which is by your project, which I guess I would kind of call progressive, psychedelic, of Earth. Let's just, for the listeners who don't know much about this project, can you fill us in on what of Earth is all about?
Well, it's a New York City band that I sing and play bass for. And I've been in all these pretty heavy bands, not black metal or anything like that, but I played a lot of heavy stuff, and I'm a rock guy. I'm a classic rock guy at heart. That's what I was brought up on, and this is kind of a little bit more ethereal classic rock, you know, a lot of keyboards, definitely in the vein of like a Pink Floyd or something like a British 70s British kind of template. I just love it because it's a muscle that I get to flex that I don't flex as much in other bands. You know, it can be dreamy at times. It's incredibly dynamic, and it's also very, very powerful, but some of the power comes in different ways than the obvious massive guitars, which it does have at times, plenty of times. But sometimes when you get into huge dynamic sweeps, you can be heavy in other ways, and that's what I enjoy about this band. It can be very delicate and still be really heavy because of the way it's constructed. And we're getting really great reactions to it. I've actually had the band together for a long time, and as soon as I get home from touring with anyone else, I start to work. I go right to work on Of Earth when I'm not busy with one of my other projects. And we're getting good reactions. The video was picked in Classic Rock magazine as the track of the week, and that's the third one we've had picked as the track of the week in Classic Rock magazine, which is a big deal. So you know, it's on there online if anyone wants to check it out, stream it, download it for free. It's otherbandcamp.com.
Cool. And when you say download it for free, you're talking just about the specific song, Sweep the Fire, or is that the whole record?
Two records, actually. You'll find two records on our Bandcamp page that you can download for free, or you can pay whatever you want, or you can just listen to it, stream it, whatever you like.
Excellent.
Our main focus is just to be heard, primarily. So.
And the latest record, the sophomore album, is The Monarch. Who actually is playing in the band with you, who worked on the record with you producer wise can you give us a rundown of who's involved with Of Earth on the album The Monarch?
Well, I produce it and I co-engineer it with a guy named Tom Camuso, who won a Grammy for Album of the Year a couple of years ago. And in the band is Paul Casanova on guitars, and he also does some singing with me. My cousin Rick DeLuca on drums, who also plays in Spread Eagle, and Rick Chiarello on keyboards.
Excellent. And we will link it through today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. We'll link right over to the Bandcamp page so all you listeners can check out Of Earth with Rob DeLuca. You just wrapped up a tour with UFO in Europe. How did that go for you?
It was great because, you know, when you... We tour quite a bit, but when you have a record to promote, it's always a little more exciting. It's always kind of like one level up in intensity. So the reactions, the reviews for the record have been amazing, which is really exciting and thrilling. So it was a great tour. It was a really great tour, and we have a few weeks off, and then we're going right back to the UK to start another tour.
Cool. And the UFO record, which came out fairly recently, I guess less than a month ago, right, is a Conspiracy of Stars. And are you featuring a lot of new material in the set list?
Yeah, we're throwing around about four songs right now in and out of the set. And I think there's four, maybe five, might be five. But we're not playing them all at once yet. We may. But we're interchanging them depending on the night. And it's the material's gone over really well live, and it's a blast, you know. It's important to release new music, you know. Like, of course we're going to play the hits, you know, of course. But it just, you know, to do that year in and year out without any additions would be a little strange. And I know some bands do that, and that's fine for them, but it's great that we're not doing that. It's really exciting.
And I was reading, when you guys recorded this record, A Conspiracy of Stars, you actually were working out ideas and doing some songwriting all together in one room. This wasn't just like a long distance thing where you were trading files back and forth. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And I mean, I think in just before you record or in the studio, people usually get together. Not always, though. And actually, often, I take back, usually. Often they don't, but sometimes they do. But we went way beyond that. We played for a full week in Hanover, Germany, just at the inception of this whole process, where we were just throwing around ideas. And then when we had them solidified, about a month later or so, we did pre-production in Kent, England, and that was for like another week. So we really spent a lot of time, like old school, as a band in a room working out ideas. So I think it made a huge difference in the record. It really sounds different from their previous records, which are good records, but it's just, there's a different sound on this, and I think that playing together, that comfortability, has a lot to do with it.
Excellent. Definitely. And as far as some of your other bands go, Sebastian Bach, nothing really going on right at this moment?
Well, I think he's doing some touring, but I'm going to UK with UFO to promote the record. So, you know, I'll probably be with him down the road. But at the moment, I'm not. And I still have Spread Eagle together. And, you know, it's tough because, you know, you have all these things and you try to fit everything in. But they're all alive.
Right.
Nothing is dead. So, you know, I can't wait to do some Spread Eagle shows also, because that's a great band, really great band. Ray West is still a great singer. And, you know, so I'm keeping busy.
Absolutely. And would you ever consider releasing new music with Spread Eagle?
I would love to. It's just really hard to get to it, because it's hard to just get to doing shows with Spread, because I'm kind of busy. And it makes total sense to release new music with Spread, and it would be great. But and we actually have a few songs, but we haven't gotten them finished and to recording them yet.
And would you want to do a full record, or would you consider just releasing some songs here and there?
I think I would love to do a full record, but I think at this time it's not on the immediate horizon. So I would say it would be nice to just get some songs together for an EP or something.
Cool. And who are you listening to right now? Are there any new bands that have piqued your interest, or any classic bands that you've rediscovered lately?
I listen to a lot of Deftones. I think they're, in my opinion, one of the best metal bands out there. I mean, but metal is so diverse, it's hard to say that, you know, because there's bands in metal that are nothing like the Deftones. So, but for me, they're one of my favorites, if not my favorite, of bands that are putting out new records. And I listen to their last two records constantly still.
Really?
I think their writing stuff is great, as they're, you you know, classic period of, you know, when they were younger. I really like the new Stephen Wilson LP, the guy from Porcupine Tree.
Right.
It's a really good disc and really beautiful and melodic. Other than that, you know, keep asking questions and I'm sure something will pop up. I have a time sensor on things, so it'll take me a few seconds, but I'm sure something else will pop up that I've been listening to.
Right on. And as far as writing new music, you know, you mentioned we were talking about the UFO record and you know, and all fresh brand new music of Earth. You're writing music with them and releasing music. Is it frustrating to you that the music itself doesn't generate the source of income for you or for just musicians in general, like it used to? Does that affect the creative process at all?
It doesn't affect the creative process at all for me, but it is absolutely frustrating and sad because, you know, every industry deserves revenue, you know, to sustain it, to help it to sustain or to make it grow. And, you know, living through the industry, the changes in the industry, it's sad. I mean, maybe days of, you know, bands selling 10, 15 million records, it could be argued that that's exorbitant, that it was just, you know, over the top and a bubble that needed to burst. And I wouldn't even argue with that if someone had that opinion. That's their opinion. But also the complete opposite of, you know, a really great band selling, you know, 1,000 records or 2,000 records. You know, it's sad. And it's sad that younger people don't pay for music and that people like me have to cater to those people and give it away free. And I think also something that might not be talked about as much is I think a lot of music doesn't sound like it's valuable. I feel like a lot of digital music, where it's digital in every part of the process, where it's recorded digitally, transferred digitally, released digitally, it's there's a sound to it that is like it just isn't as pleasing sounding as like when you put on an old Steely Dan LP. It's
right.
Like a blanket.
Yeah,
it's like a blanket that wraps around you, like the song "Dirty Work" by Steely Dan. If you put that on, it's like a warm coat in the winter, and it sounds so good to your ears. And digital music, I'm not saying it all sounds horrible. I'm just saying it all has this percentage of this quality that your ears don't embrace, that my ears don't embrace.
Yeah.
And I'd say that different bands have different amounts of that quality. And I think it's maybe one of the reasons why people don't value it as much. I could be crazy, but I feel that way sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's like when I was younger, the whole experience of listening to an LP was just all-consuming. You know, I'd go into my room, I'd shut the door, I'd pull out the vinyl, I'd set it on the turntable, drop the needle, and just, you know, maybe zone off into the album cover artwork. And it just seems nowadays that whole concept for most younger people is non-existent. You know, it's just something they consume maybe on the go on their with their earbuds, you know, and while they're doing something else. Do you think there's hope that maybe sometime in the future it could turn back to a more all-consuming listening experience for younger people?
I hope so. It's hard to say. Maybe not, because the world has changed, people change, but I hope so. But regardless, I think the start would be to make music that sounds like it's worth your time,
right,
to listen to a whole record, and your you know, your money to sustain the music industry and have people pay for music. And I, you know, I, my my contribution to that would be recording to 2-inch tape on an analog recording console. That's what I do. And it still gets transferred, you know, to digital mediums. Like, you know, when you if you go to our Bandcamp page, you know, you're downloading digital tracks. But at least at some point of the process, and at an important part of the process, it was analog and warm. And I think that helps a little bit. And I hope it comes back to that experience, because it's a wonderful experience. It's like reading, it's like not reading a whole book, you know, and there might be parts of a book that are not the most intense parts of the book, but they are dynamic to the most intense parts of the book. They help the most intense parts of the book. And if you're just listening to the single of an album, it's like, you know, it's like reading the end of a book, you know, without the lead up to know why that last chapter is so intense, or why it's so ironic, or whatever, you know. So I do hope that people go back to that experience, and I hope that Of Earth Records that I'm releasing and the UFO Records are an experience like that. If you take the time to do it, to listen.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess we can assume the Of Earth stuff, you know, on the sophomore record, The Monarch, was recorded on 2-inch tape originally?
Yes. Very nice. Both albums.
Wow, cool. Very cool. Yeah. Anyways.
On a Vintage Neve board, which your listeners may not know what that is, but that's like the analog Rolls Royce.
Right, okay. And the board itself adds to the sound.
And
technically, why is that for somebody who maybe doesn't understand the science behind a mixing board? How does, you know, you have the 2-inch tape, which makes sense. It's this analog component. But how does the board actually add to the sound of the recording?
It's the same concept as the tape. It's a signal that it's passing through that makes it warm, because it's analog. It's much warmer process, the transferring process, than if it was going to digital.
Wow.
So it's basically the same concept with a completely different component. But if you're getting more things along the route, along the pathway, that make it warm, then when you do transfer to digital, because everyone has to do that to release it online, when you do transfer it, at least you have all those warm things within the path, helping it sound, you know, not as nasty to your ears.
Right. Interesting stuff. Anyways, Rob, thank you so much for talking with us today on Talking Metal. We're going to have, again, links up to UFO, to Of Earth, in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. And, yeah, come back anytime.
Thank you so much, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Digging the truth from the shelters. No more dirt on our faces. We come out of the night and into the light.
what you just heard was Rob DeLuca's band, Of Earth. The song was Sweep the Fire. We'll have links over to the Bandcamp page where you can buy that in today's show notes, and links to all things Rob is up to. So go to talkingmetal.com, visit the show notes for this episode, and you will find all those links. Support what Anthony and Rob are doing, Anthony Esposito, that is, and Rob DeLuca. And if you see him out on the road, let them know you heard their interview with Mark Striegel on Talking Metal. Guys, I really want to give you a big thanks for supporting what I do here with the podcast. Still on the season 14 run here of That Metal Show. I'm now hosting an online show called That Metal Gear on VH1.com. Definitely go check that out. It's also on YouTube. And it's just been a blast working on That Metal Show with Don, Jim, and Eddie. A lot of great stuff on YouTube.com/That Metal Show. A lot of bonus content and stuff. So definitely check that page out. Guys, thanks so much. I will talk to you next time. That's it.